This Rosh Hashanah, more than I've ever felt before, I feel that the world is a mess. And getting messier by the week, by the month. Secular humanism, the idea that man is what is important, not God, is the dominant worldview of Western civilization. Western civilization is not only post-Christian, in many ways it is now anti-Christian. And that's tragic. Bad ideas, wrong ideas, especially wrong ideas about God, will have the most tragic consequences for society. The world is a mess, and it is getting messier. Along with the advance of secular humanism is the increase of moral and ethical decay. I know things have always been morally, ethically questionable, but I sense that in my 58 years, I've never experienced moral and ethical corruption like we are experiencing now. While the real economy has deteriorated for years, the mirage of prosperity has been kept up by artificial means, record levels of debt, artificially suppressed interest rates, trillions of dollars of money that have been printed out of thin air, the suppression of real money, gold and silver, the obvious manipulation of stocks and bonds so that they're at artificially high levels. Record levels of people are not working. Almost 50 million people receive food stamps. How is that possible in a healthy economy? Economies around the world are falling. Currencies are falling. Commodity prices have fallen dramatically. Nations in the Middle East have been destabilized, and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of refugees are pouring into Europe. Geopolitical tensions are on the rise. The world is a mess, and it is getting messier by the week, by the month. Why? Only the word of the living God is able to explain our condition. Here's what it says. When Adam and Eve, who were very real people, ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they joined the rebellion of the fallen angels against the high king of heaven. Their relationship to God was ruined. The earth and everything in it was cursed. Adam and Eve were cursed. Their nature was radically changed. It was profoundly altered. It was damaged. It was corrupted. Tonight, I want to talk about one way that our fallen nature reveals itself, and that is through normalcy bias. Normalcy bias is a wrong way of thinking about the present and about the future. It's based on the assumption that tomorrow will be like today. Maybe a little better, maybe a little worse, but tomorrow will be pretty much just like today. When times are bad, we think they will always be bad, that the sun will never shine again. But sometimes something good can happen that can radically change things for us in a good way. When times are good, we expect them to remain good indefinitely. But life does not work that way. Good times cannot last in a fallen world. Spring and summer are always followed by fall and winter. The abundance of summer and fall are followed by the dearth and lack of winter. Isn't that true? The Word of God warns us to be aware of this tendency that we have toward normalcy bias and avoid it. Listen to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what may happen tomorrow, what a day may bring. Yaakov, James, the brother of Messiah, and the leader of the Messianic community in Jerusalem, a highly esteemed position, and Jewish royalty, because he was a descendant of King David, reminded the people he wrote to in his book, the book of James, and he was writing to Messianic Jews living outside of the land of Israel. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Does that sound familiar? Pretty sure James was thinking about Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. The Holy Spirit, communicating to us through James, is telling us, don't proclaim what you are going to do tomorrow, or even later on today. That reveals your arrogance and your ignorance. You are not in control. You are not in charge of the future. You do not know what will happen to you tomorrow. Your circumstances can dramatically change in one day, preventing you from doing what you said you would do. James continues, what is your life? What's it like? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James compares our life to a mist. Water is one of the most amazing substances that God has created. The more you study this substance, water, the more amazing its various qualities are. I love water in all of its various forms, including mist. Unlike weighty and enduring things like metal or stone, mist is unsubstantial and normally doesn't last a long time. A morning mist usually dissipates within a few hours of sunrise. James tells us that's what our lives are like in this fallen world. Unsubstantial, and they're over quickly, perhaps much more quickly than we will realize. A couple of years ago, my dear friend Jan, who was one of the founding fathers of Jews for Jesus and the best preacher in the Messianic Jewish community in the world, died very unexpectedly. He went into Manhattan one morning. He tripped on some stairs in Grand Central Station. He hit his head, and he was brain dead within a couple of hours. Life support was stopped the next day. I suspect that Jan did not wake up in his beautiful Brooklyn home that final morning thinking that his life would be over in a few hours. But it was. Back to James. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. The words that James tells us to use about our plans for the future, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that, are humble words, based on the knowledge that God is the one who is in control of our lives and the length of our days, not us. We are not to assume that tomorrow will be like today, and we will do tomorrow what we do today. We are to avoid the arrogancy of normalcy bias. Let me give you some other examples of normalcy bias found in the Word of God. Messiah told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Sounds like some college students I know. That's normalcy bias. Assuming that good times were there to stay. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you." That night, that man's life would change radically and change forever, and he was not ready for that sudden dramatic change. He was a fool. And we don't want to be fools. Normalcy bias affects individuals and it affects nations. The book of Daniel informs us of a normalcy bias that affected the leaders of the greatest empire the world had known until that time. Even though Babylon, the city, was surrounded by the armies of the Medes and the Persians who were intent on destroying the Babylonians, the leaders of the Babylonian Empire were in their city, and they believed that they were safe, and the good times they had enjoyed for decades would continue. 1,000 of the leaders had a party one night, eating and drinking and mocking the God of Israel. God judged them that night and found them lacking. That night, the city was captured by the Medes and the Persians. The king of Babylon was killed, and the mighty Babylonian Empire, which had endured for decades, came to a tragic end. The leaders of the empire, who were rich and powerful and enjoying life one night, were defeated, killed, captured, enslaved, impoverished the next day. That's normalcy bias. And I am sure that those leaders were not ready for that sudden change. They were not ready for their time of judgment. If great empires can suddenly fall, like Babylon or the former Soviet Union, which collapsed so suddenly and so unexpectedly, can't complex, highly indebted financial systems collapse? Currencies, political systems. It wasn't just the Babylonian leaders who were guilty of normalcy bias. Even the leaders of the chosen people, who should have known better, fell prey to it. Listen to this criticism of Israel's leaders in the time of Isaiah. "Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They're all mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough." They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. They seek their own gain. Come, each one cries, let me get wine. Let us drink our fill of beer. And tomorrow will be like today, or even far better. Does that sound familiar? Tomorrow will be like today, or even far better. The leaders of Israel, who should have known God the best and served him the most, were not faithful. They lacked understanding. They were enjoying good times, which they thought would last forever, while neglecting God and their spiritual responsibilities. Let me get wine. Let's drink our fill of beer. Tomorrow will be like today, or even far better. They were guilty of normalcy bias. Messiah prophesied that most of the world would experience normalcy bias immediately before he returns. That period of time will be like the days of Noah. Instead of getting right with God and preparing for judgment, like Noah and his family did, everyone else on earth was eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark. Then God's sudden judgment came, and they were not prepared. The flood destroyed them all while they were still in their sins. That's normalcy bias. Messiah reinforced the danger of normalcy bias by giving another example. Right before he returns, he predicted that it will be like the days of Lot, when people were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. Life was good in Sodom. The economy was good, and there was lots of full sexual expression. There was no need to change. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Their normalcy bias prevented them from getting right with God, from making the necessary changes that they should have made. They were unprepared for sudden dramatic change. They were not ready for divine judgment. We don't want to be like that. Normalcy bias is foolish. It is dangerous. None of us know what might happen tomorrow. If we have normalcy bias, we may not be ready for sudden and significant change. And the world and our individual lives are subject to sudden and significant change. And we may not make the necessary corrections that we need to make to avoid God's judgment. And all of us will be judged. So we should always be prepared to be judged. Messiah told parable after parable after parable, in which he warned his people against normalcy bias. He warned us not to get complacent. He told us to always be alert, to be prepared for his return, which might be sudden or unexpected in some way, that we should be right with him, that we should be close to him, constantly aware of him, faithfully serving him, not be distracted by the cares of the world or pursue a life whose focus is pleasure or money. God designed this holiday, Yom Teruah, the holiday to blow the shofar, as a yearly reminder to help us fight against normalcy bias. The sounding of the shofar reminds us that we need to be alert, spiritually alert, not complacent, not worldly, to turn from our sins, to regain our first love for God, to renew our zeal if it's lessened, to reprioritize our spiritual priorities. May the blowing of the shofar, which we are about to do, pierce our hearts and remove all of our normalcy bias. And not just today, the next 24 hours, the next 10 days, till the end of Yom Kippur, but may the sounds of the shofar continue to vibrate within us, resonate within us deeply for the next 12 months, keeping us alert and awake, faithful, until next Rosh Hashanah. Amen.